is celebrating 25 years as Atlanta's sports station.
Hey, this is Falcons QB Matt Ryan.
Hey, it's Freddie Freeman.
Hey, it's Chipper Jones, and congratulations to the fan for 25 years of being Atlanta's sports station.
25 years is a hell of a run. It's Jeff Francourt.
Hey, Atlanta, this is Kiefer Sutherland.
Hi, it's Marv Albert.
Hi, this is Dominique Wilkin. Congratulations to 680 The Fan.
Atlanta Sports Station.
The Fan.
As we count down to our celebration on November 3rd, we are bringing you our top 25 every week. Chuck and Chernoff are bringing you the top 25 moments in the Fan's history. Presented by Georgia Natural Gas. Expect the unexpected this winter and lock in a low rate now with Georgia Natural Gas.
All right, number one, pretty easy to tell. The launch of this radio station 25 years ago, back in 1993. And we're lucky enough to have the man behind it all, David Dickey. I think it says Dickey Broadcasting along the building here at the Battery. It's good to see you.
Matt, how are you?
Glad to have you in.
I'm glad to be here.
We have some stuff. This smirk. You know, this is going to be a very serious. We have some ground to cover with you.
We do. There's a lot of ground to cover.
So I mentioned to Chuck. So WFAN starts the all-sports format in 1987. And then we start to see some stations around the nation pop up. So tell me why 93 felt like the time that Atlanta was going to embrace something that people on the outside used to say sports talk won't work. It's guys sitting around a bar talking sports that doesn't have legs and it won't last, when obviously it has.
You know, when Emmis launched the Fan in New York in 87, which obviously is a great sports town, a lot of people in New York, a lot of the so-called experts thought 24 hours a day of sports, even in New York, wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And Emmis had the, I think, the foresight to do it. It was a little bit of a goofy first year, as you know, but it stuck. And it really created the model, I think, for other radio stations to look at, you know, do we really want to be the second or third news talk in a marketplace, especially on AM back then? And that's really what happened with us. We came into Atlanta, able to buy Ring Radio back in 1992. And originally created R&B station, Kiss 104.
Yeah.
It was on 104.7 back then. And we that really was going well in our launch year of 92. And then we turned our, once that really, I think, had some traction, we turned our attention to 680 AM, which at the time was doing, I think they called it All News 680. And it was really just doing headline
news. Right, used to simulcast.
HLN.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were, the funny thing is, the stations that have that today get it via satellite. Well, we were at CNN Center, and this is what I love about the old school radio. Literally, there was a coax cable that was strung from Headline News Studios through the rafters, punched into a hole into the front facade of our radio station. We were on retail space on the ground floor of CNN Center, and literally ran the cable in. So we were hardwired.
Yeah.
From Headline News. So
radio equivalent of a stone tablet.
Basically. And so we were looking at it and saying, you know, WGST 640, WSB 750, we're in a heck of a battle, doing a great job, and we didn't think Atlanta needed a third news talk radio station. So being on AM, probably weren't going to play music, and so we really thought, okay, you had worst to first. Braves were really taking off. Georgia Tech had just recently celebrated a national championship. Georgia, a little over 10 years ago, a national championship. We were getting the Olympics, getting a Super Bowl, just Atlanta. And we knew that this also was the Buckhead was alive and well. A lot of kids were graduating colleges in Georgia and around the contiguous states in the southeast and moving here for jobs, for social life, whatever. So we thought, we're going to do a sports talk. We're going to model it after the Fan. But unlike north of the Mason-Dixon, really more flags fly on Saturday than Sunday. And so we were going to go ahead and model this thing off of the Fan, but in sort of a college vein. And we decided to create the Fan, and but with the core DNA being college football.
There are like 50 templates now for anybody in America. We're going to flip formats. And, all right, well, we follow the playbook. White guy, black guy, old guy, young guy, guy from the north, guy from the south. We throw them on the air together and say, y'all go talk sports.
By the way, I'm the black guy on the show.
There was no template in 1993. It was just this empty canvas. So there had to be a lot of uncertainty and guesswork and, I guess, best guesses. But there was no handbook to follow like there is now for somebody who decides to get into sports.
No, I mean, FAN in New York probably was the handbook. But, again, it was a very different genre of sports talk. And for us, we knew at that point we had to localize it for the South. And so it's a collection of people that brought – diversity of opinions, diversity of experiences, whether they played the game or coached the game, or they were just radio people, or just great sports fans with strong opinions. We thought that it's more the art form than science. And I believe still this business is still more art than science. It takes the combination of Chuck and Chernoff, Buck and Kincaid, if you will, Chris and Nick, and then the front row, to put together different people, but in a way that, you know, they have chemistry, that they can have a genuine, fun conversation, entertain and inform. And, you know, you don't always get it right. You tweak it as you go along. But I think the difference for us is we believe in what we're doing. We believe in the people that are doing it. And we thank the Lord have the ability to stick with it and continue to grind it out until we find the recipe that works.
Well, here's the, and David Dickey's with us, our boss, as we look back 25 years. So Chuck and I, being at another radio station for a long time, like I said to him earlier, this just isn't a station which deserves so much credit. You guys started Sports Talk, right? It's lasted 25 years, and multiple stations have come in, some
Absolutely.
Have gone. But the personalities, I don't know if the listener knows this, because I always forget Atlanta's just so transient, and we have people who have lived here 6 months and 6 years, not 25 years. David, I was looking, I wrote down a list of names, and you mentioned the station started at CNN Center. Skinny Bobby Harper, who Chuck and I know from
Great
living
guy.
In this town, living in a million years,
yep.
was a morning show host who started here after he had gone away from radio, right? The first morning show host here. You had guys like Randy Cross on
yes.
in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Blake, AJ Cannon, Bo Bach.
Harmon Wages.
Yeah, Charmin Harmon. I forget yeah. Charmin Harmon was here. Stu Klytek.
Yeah. Harmon Wages was on?
Oh, absolutely.
Mornings. Absolutely.
He was doing mornings.
Max and Morgan in the midday. Larry
okay,
Munson and Jeff
Van
Note afternoons. I mean, there have been some like iconic names who have come through this place.
I'm not trying to disparage anybody, Matt. Don't mean to cut you off. But Harmon Wages did mornings?
He did.
Every morning?
Let it go, Chuck.
Not today. Yeah, not today.
Let it go. Harmon's a good guy.
All right, here's one.
I love Harmon.
So Pharrell was on with Nick and Chris today, right? And Pharrell came in here, like, I want to say 94, 95, before going off to San Francisco. Like, take the listeners back, because people know Scott and John Renshaw and other people.
Yeah.
Like, give me the talent search back in those days, because today it's internet, million places to find people. Tell me the difference in finding talent then and a guy like that who ended up in Atlanta, who I've said, I don't think Atlanta was ready for Pharrell yet. Like, he was so yeah. different than anything yeah. we had.
The difference is really that today with the internet, just think about recruiting high school kids. You know, you have such a picture of so many different kids and from so many different communities that you really know all about them before you ever meet them. And we didn't have that resource back then. So really it was a lot of just legwork, keeping your eyes and ears open to people that were around town, talking to people. Who do you know? And meeting somebody, and you know, and then or it's you know, they know a guy, and you meet that person, then ultimately try to find people that you think understand the vision, and then again the art form, then trying to pair them with somebody who you think they'll do a good show with, and do a couple of trial shows, sometimes off air, to see if there's and I think if you've been in broadcasting like I have, and I've grown up in this business, thanks to my parents, you get a gut feel. That you either know it or you don't know it pretty quickly, that there's a degree of chemistry. And if so, then you try to build on that. And if not, and there were a number of pairings we put together that within 10 minutes, within 30 minutes or less, you knew probably didn't make sense, and we moved on.